For today, I want to enlarge our perspective, no? Kaya ako nalagay sa puso ko na pag-aralan natin yung end times para hindi tayo matakot. Amen? Kasi we're not waiting for the tribulation. We're waiting for the return of Jesus Christ. Amen? We're not waiting for the big one. We're waiting for the Lord. Amen? Kasi kapag ka nakafocus tayo sa terrorism, nakafocus tayo sa earthquake, nakafocus tayo sa lahat ng mga atake ng kalaban, then we will become conscious and anxious and worried and fearful. But we know that the Lord is in control over everything, over our lives. Kaya't ano man ang dinadaanan mo, kapatid, ngayon, I want to reassure you that all will be well. Amen? Because God is in control. Amen? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Whom shall I be afraid of? Kaya wala akong dapat ikatakot. No? Sabi mo sa katabi mo, fear not. Yan. Amen. Palakpakan natin ang Lord for that word. So, salamat sa Panginoon kasi sa London, we had the marriage enrichment sa ating church doon sa London. It's growing. We have approximately, parang every Sunday, they have 60 to 70 attendees sa worship service. The good thing about the London church is that it is family-based. Unlike doon sa ibang mga lugar sa London, ang mga nandun, mga single moms, o kaya mga kasambahay. Pero doon sa area ng Dartford, marami doon mga nurses. Tapos kasama ang kanila mga pamilya, no? Kaya strong ang ating church sa London because family-based talaga. Medyo meron nga lang ano, kumbaga parang, alam mo yon, yung reversal of roles. Kasi dahil nurses yung mga nagdala ng kanila mga mister doon, ang kumikita ng malaki mga babae. So yung mga mister ang kasambahay. yun ang common struggle doon, no? Maraming battered husband. Maraming mga inaaping lalaki. No, dahil ang mga babae ang nagtatrabaho. But anyway, they're doing good naman. No, kaya we had the marriage enrichment. That was a lot of fun. At pagkatapos noon, nagkaroon tayo ng crossing sa Brussels. It was attended by about 100 people from different nations. So mayroong mga Pranses, mayroong Irish, mayroong Nigerian, no? At maraming Pilipino. Medyo nosebleed kami ni Pastora. Kasi English, minsan kailangan mag-French. No? Kaya sabi niya, merci beaucoup. Ayan, merci beaucoup. Ang ibig sabihin ng merci beaucoup ay thank you very much. Ayan. Pagka naman, isi beaucoup. Sabi niyo nga, isi beaucoup. Ayan, ice buko yun. So, pagkatapos sa Brussels, diretso naman kami sa Athens. Medyo ba nalulungkot kami kasi dapat may encounter doon. Kaya lang, di natuloy yung encounter kasi hindi reliable yung pastor. Na hindi naman natin ka-churchmate yon, tutulungan lang namin. But they were not able to gather as many people for the encounter. So from Athens, diretso kami sa Rome para bisitahin si Bishop Francis, who happens to be here in the Philippines these days. Tapos binisita natin yung church natin sa Viareggio, Italy. Although hindi pa siya church, maliit pa lang yun eh. Mga 10 to 12 people pa lang yung dumadalo. But they're excited about every hope for Christ. No? And Lord willing, next year we have the encounter in Italy. No? So, sinong gusto pumunta ng Italy for the encounter? Yan. Malapit lang siya doon sa ano, Verona. Romeo and Juliet. Malapit din siya sa Pisa, yung nakatagilid na ano, tower. So, God is good. Pagkatapos doon sa Italy, we go straight back to London for the encounter, for the crossing. And then Peterborough, and then yun. Nagkaroon din tayo ng cross training doon sa London. So, praise God for that. Palakpakan natin ang Panginoon for the journey. Ito namang nakaraang linggo, nandito lahat ng mga pastors natin from different parts of the nation. Kanina umaga, nag-testimony si Pastor Rigor, how the Lord helped them, provided ₱500,000 para sa operation ng kanilang anak, no, na si Ilof. That was amazing, testimony niya kanina. Si Pastor Dodong naman, nag-testimony na ang unang naging Christian sa kanila, yung wife niya. Tapos siya, lasenggo, basagulero. Tapos, pinagagalitan niya yung asawa niya, binubugbog niya dahil umaatin sa church. Eh nung sabi niya, pag hindi ka tumigil sa pagsamba mo, sabi niya ganoon, hihiwalayan kita. Parang ginawa ni Judith, nung asawa niya, pumunta doon sa pastor, binalik yung Bible, sabi niya, susuko na ako, ayoko nang mag-Bible, kasi hiwalayan daw ako ng asawa ko. At nung hindi na siya nag-Bible, ang ginawa niya, siya naman na naglasing. No, siya naglasing, siya naman ang nagsugal. Nakita nung asawa ni Dodong, sabi niya, hindi maganda yung nangyari. Sabi niya, sige, magsimba ka na uli. Ganon. At sasamahan na kita. Ayun. Yun ang nangyari sa story nila hanggang sa naging pastor pa si Dodong. No? Kaya huwag kang mag-alala, no? Pagka binubugbog ka ng mister mo, pag-pray mo yung mister mo, maging pastor. At hindi ng testimony kanginang umaga. Tapos si Pastor Lolong naman, yung testimony niya, mayroong pumasok doon sa kanilang simbahan habang siya ay nagdidikdik ng flooring ng simbahan. May daladalang itak. At tatagain siya nung lalaki. Pero nung tatagain na siyang ganyan, sabi niya, in Jesus' name! Biglang na-freeze yung lalaking ganyan. Hindi makagalaw. Tapos sa halip na siya ang tagain, tinaga yung parang may kahoy dito, tinagang ganun. Putol yung itak. Tapos, nagtatakbo. Nung kinabukasan, lumapit sa kanya, humingi ng tawad. Mas mapatawarin mo ako. Ganyan. See how God protects His children. Amen? Kaya, hindi sabi ko, sana bumalik sila ngayon para mag-testimony, hindi na nakabalik. But that was the summary of their testimony. That was really great. At si Pastor Giorgio De Mafelis, nasa Caloocan naman siya ngayon, siya yung pastor natin sa Palawan. Yung church natin doon, ng mga tribo, is a model tribe sa buong Palawan. Oo, nung nagpunta kami dyan, mga 16 years ago, mga nakabahag pa ho yung mga tao, mga nakatapless yung mga babae, nagkakamatay po yung mga tao dahil lang sa lagnat, sipon. Yun lang ang dahilan ng kamatayan nila. Pero ngayon, ang taas na ng kanilang lifespan, bumaba ang mortality rate, meron na tayong sariling school sa taas, recognized ng DepEd. Tapos, yung mga estudyante natin doon, nagtatap sa, hindi lang sa mga competition sa ibaba. Mga anho yan, mga parang kamag-anak ng AITA, mga batak. And we now have another church, Crossroads San Vicente, no, sa Palawan, pinanganak. Dahil po sa kasipagan ng ating pastor na si Pastor Giorgio. Okay, let's continue to pray for our pastors. Manaiba yung tono ko. Hello, 1, 2, 3, 4. Ayan. Kasi they're doing hard work, they're doing a lot of work for the ministry of God. Let's continue to pray for them. Amen po ba? Amen. Sige, can we close our eyes and let's pray for them? Lord, salamat po because we have partners in the ministries, fellow workers and ministers who are doing so much great work in the tribes, in the remote areas, Lord, maging sa cities. Dalangin po namin ang pag-iingat at ang pagpapala mo po sa kanila. We pray for your provision, protection, and answer to all their prayers. We pray for expansion and for more churches to be planted all around the world. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God. Tumayo po tayong lahat, mga kapatid. And I'll be talking about ito, the seven churches of Revelation. No? Parang, ano yan, Pastor? Siguro parang nagugulat kayo. Ano ba ito, Pastor? Well, I hope I can do justice, no, in explaining this to you. The seven churches of the Revelation. Kaya ako po di-discuss ito para makita natin in panorama, sa isang tingin, the history of man and the story of God's church. Let's all read Revelation chapter 1, verse 11. Ready, go. Write what you see in the book and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus and to Smyrna and to Pergamum and to Thyatira and to Sardis, and to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. The Lord bless the reading of His Word. Please be seated. Pastor, ano ba tong pitong churches na ito? Yun pong revelation, sinulat ni John. Si John po, yung apostol, siya yung huling pas-apostol na nabuhay. Pinatapon siya sa Patmos. At habang nandun po siya, nakakita siya ng vision. Ang vision, nakita niya si Jesus. Kaakibat doon, yung vision, pinakita yung ending ng mundo. Okay, so yun yung pinaka-background natin. Tapos, portion ng revelation, sinabi niya, sulatan mo tong pitong churches na ito. Itong pitong churches na ito ay, number one, yung Ephesus, itong Smyrna, itong Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, and Philadelphia, and Laodicea ay totoong mga churches. Hindi building, kundi congregation sa Asia Minor. When you look at the map, etong itsura niya, no? Ito yung Patmos, ano? Dito sa banda dito, nandito yung Greece, no? At Italy, nandyan. Okay, pataas yan. Tapos yung Southern Europe. At saka, Western Europe. So this is Patmos, kung saan pinatapon si John. And then, yung one is Ephesus, two is Smyrna, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yun yung pagkakasunod-sunod. Kasi kapag ka nagpapadala ng sulat or mail, yun yung pinaka-root niya talaga. No? Yun ang destination talaga ng mga mailmen. So itong sulat na ito, itong letter na ito, ay isinulat hindi lang actually para sa isang church, kundi sabi, write these letters to. So ibig sabihin, nagsi-circulate yung letter among the seven churches. Pero, ito talaga ay meron talagang church doon sa lugar na yon, at meron siyang distinct situation, meron siyang setting kung bakit ganun ang pagkakasulat sa kanya. Halimbawa, kung titingnan natin yung kalalagay ng bawat church. Yung unang, sabi dito, yung Ephesus ay loveless. Yeah, the church was dynamic. It was discerning, disciplined, determined. Kaya lang may problema sila. They lost their devotion. Their love for Jesus. Kaya yun ang taguri sa kanya, the loveless church. Yung pangalawa ay Smyrna. Yung Smyrna naman is the suffering church. Kasi marami siyang problema about poverty, pressures, and persecution. Yung pangatlo naman ay Pergamum, no? The compromising church. Kasi ay doon sa kanyang lugar, nahandun ang mga, sa Pergamum kasi, nahandyan yung mga estatwa ni Zeus, ni Apollo, at saka ni Athena. Okay? Kaya medyo matindi ang kompromiso dyan. Number four is Thyatira, the adulterous church. Dito naman sa Thyatira, medyo sentro din ito ng trade eh. Pero meron yung goddess of war na bago ka makapag-transact ng negosyo, kinakailangan mag-offer ka muna. At pag hindi ka nag-member ng organization na yon, hindi ka pwedeng makipag-trade. So maraming nakokompromiso at na-adulterate ng mga Kristiyano kasi alang-alang sa negosyo, alam mo naman yun, parang magsasamba na rin. Okay? Kaya may mga Kristiyano na sumasayaw dito. Yung number five ay Sardis. No? Itong church na ito ay tinaguriang the dead church. Kasi parang, sabi nga, parang buhay pero sa totoo lang, patay. Pero sabi, may konting godly na natitira dito sa Sardis church. And then, yung pang-anim ay Philadelphia. Ibig sabihin, the faithful church. Dito sa pitong churches na ito, dalawa lang dito ang hindi binigyan ng negative comments. Philadelphia at saka Smyrna. Pero the rest, lahat may comment, may negative comment ang Panginoon. Philadelphia is a faithful church. Why? Because they are faithful kahit sa persecution, kahit sa anong mga problema at mga testings. Kahit ang sabi ng Lord sa kanila, dahil faithful ka, I will keep you in the hour of testing. Okay. At yung panghuli is Laodicea. Laodicea is the lukewarm church. Ito naman church na ito, this is the Christless church. Bakit Christless? Dito ho lumabas yung salita ni Jesus na Revelation 3:10 na ang sabi doon, 3:20, na here I am at the door I knock. If anyone opens, hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him. Ibig sabihin, si Jesus nasa labas ng church. Kaya lukewarm. Okay? Saan ka nakakita ng church na wala si Christ? Meron ako nabasa na isang sulat ng isang, sa FB lang, FB post ng isang theologian. Ang sabi niya, some people leave the church to find Jesus. Kasi sometimes yung church ay masyadong organized o kaya masyadong secularized na hindi mo na ma-distinguish kung nandun pa ba si Jesus or wala na. Okay? Pero ito, wala na talaga si Jesus. Very lukewarm na church. So yun ang problema ng actual na church, ha? This is the actual church in the first century. Okay? Now, sabi ni Walvoord, yung isang theologian, meron pa ding prophetic na meaning ang pitong churches na ito na pwede nating makita ang magiging kinabukasan ng buong church sa kasaysayan. So, hindi lang siya instruction sa actual na church but can be a prophetic, no? In understanding the era of the church age. Sabi ni John Walvoord, many expositors believe that in addition to the obvious implication of these messages, the seven churches represent the chronological development of church history viewed spiritually. They note that Ephesus seems to be characteristic of the apostolic period in general, and that the progression of evil climaxing in Laodicea seems to indicate the final state of apostasy of the church. The order of the messages of the churches seems to be divinely selected to give prophetically the main movement of church history. We'll be talking about the history of the church. Si Scofield din, sa kanyang study Bible, nagbigay din ng explanation. Sabi, again, these messages by their terms go beyond the local assemblies mentioned. It goes beyond, huh? It can be seen that Ephesus, though a local church in the Apostles' day, is typical of the first century as a whole. Smyrna characterizes the church under persecution. Pergamos, where Satan dwells, is suggestive of the church mixing with the world. Thyatira reveals how evil progresses in the church and idolatry is practiced. Sardis is representative of the church as dead, yet still having a minority of godly men and women as during the Reformation. And Philadelphia shows revival, a state of spiritual advance. And Laodicea is illustrative of the final state of apostasy which the visible church will experience. So tingnan natin at a glance, ano? Ano bang itsura nito? So kung titingnan mo ngayon doon sa ating graph, no? Yan yung description ng mga churches, ano? Pito yan, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay. Let's try to understand the prophetic meaning of the letters to the seven churches. So, let's start with Ephesus. Sabi sa Ephesus, ito yung 1 to 200 AD. No? From 0 to 100 years AD. This is the apostolic church. Kung saan, alam naman natin, no, how the church started. Then yung pangalawa, no, ay yung suffering church. From 200 to 400 AD, na dumaan talaga sa great persecution ang church because of Emperor Diocletian. Ang una talagang nag-persecute sa church si Emperor Nero. Pero tumindi ng tumindi ang persecution nung panahon ni Diocletian to the point na talagang pinapakain sa leon yung mga Kristiyano, ginagawang sulo sa gabi sa Jerusalem yung mga Kristiyano, pinatatakbo ng hubot-hubad sa winter. No, alam mo yung persecution na pinakamatindi. That happened during the time of 200 to 400 AD. So kung titingnan mo, no, parang may progression, ano? Parang i-explain niya kung ano magiging future ng church in every season. Ang pangatlong era is the period of Pergamum. Ano naman yung sa Pergamum, no? Noong 400 to 1000 AD. Bakit naging compromising church ang tawag sa kanya? Well, kaya naging compromising church ang tawag sa kanya is because during this time, no? Or political, nasa na ba ako? Pergamum is compromising, or actually this is a political church. No? It becomes a political church. Why? Kasi nung panahon na ito, okay, ay nung namatay na si Diocletian, meron siyang dalawang supposedly successor at isa doon si Constantine. Ang pangalawa ay si Maxentius. Parehong matinding general ito. But they have to fight each other kung sinong malalaman, kung sinong talaga magsasucceed kay Diocletian. Nung maglalaban na sila, si Constantine ay, sabi niya, parang napakabigat nung kanyang haharapin na digmaan na hindi niya kaya sa kanyang sarili. So he needed a power that is stronger than him. And so somehow parang he prayed to the God that he doesn't know. He didn't know. And when he lifted his eyes, he saw a vision. Alam mo nakita niyang vision? He saw a cross. At doon sa langit, nakita niya yung cross na kalagay doon, in hoc signo vinci. Ang ibig sabihin noon, in this sign, you shall conquer. And with that revelation, pinalitan niya lahat ng mga agila doon sa kanilang mga shield, no? Doon sa kanilang mga hawak na mga sibat. Tinanggal nila yung mga agila. Pinalitan nila ng krus. At nung naglaban na sila sa Rome ni Maxentius, nanalo siya. At dahil sa kanyang utang na loob doon sa krus, ay nagkaroon siya ng declaration. He made a declaration and he wrote an edict, that is the Edict of Toleration na tinatawag. The Edict of Toleration declaring that the state religion ng Roman Empire would be Catholic. Sabi niyo nga, Catholic. Sa totoo lang, lahat tayo Catholic. Ang ibig kasi sabihin ng Catholic is universal. So, yung mga Kristiyano na nagtatago sa catacomb, sa mga libingan, sa mga kuweba, nung marinig nila na, oh, state religion na ang Christianity, Catholic na, at hindi na ipe-persecute yung mga Christians, naglabasan sila. Tuwang-tuwa po yung mga Kristiyano kasi hindi na sila uusigin. Ang natakot na ngayon, yung mga hindi Kristiyano. So imagine mo, ang emperor mo parang naging Christian. So yung mga sundalo, required magpabaptize lahat. So kahit hindi na bago yung puso, kita nyo ba? When the church became political, lahat sumama. Kahit walang nangyaring pagbabago sa loob. Kaya naging Christian lahat, politically. Because they're afraid to be persecuted by the now Christian Constantine. Okay? Kaya nagpabautismo yung mga mamamatay tao, nagpabautismo yung mga magnanakaw, pero hindi naman nagbago yung buhay. Sabi nga, di ba? Kapag ka daw ang barko nakapatong sa tubig, nakalutang sa dagat, magandang tingnan. Pero pag ang dagat pumasok sa barko, lulubog ang barko. Ang church, kapag ka nakalutang, nakapatong sa mundo, okay. Pero pag ang mundo pumasok sa church, lulubog yung church. Okay. So, basically, that's what happened in history. Kaya sa panahon ni Pergamum, naalala nyo ba? Yung lugar ni Pergamum is the place of Zeus and Apollo and Athena. No? Kaya nga, dyan yung parang yung, dyan nangyari yung Easter, yung Christmas, tsaka ibang mga holidays, actually kinuha yan sa pagan ano pagan practices and holidays, dinamitan lang ng Christian para yung celebration hindi na baguhin. No? But anyway, we're still celebrating Christmas and Easter. No? In honor of Jesus Christ. Amen? Kasama ko pa ba kayo? Are you learning? Baka kasi hindi niyo na ako nasusundan. Pwede na tayo mag-close sa prayer. Kasi tahimik na tahimik kayo eh. Either natutulog kayo na nakadilat. No? But for me, this sounds interesting kasi naintindihan ko na kaya pala, no, Katoliko tayo lahat. Okay. Yan ang nangyari, naging political. Pagdating ngayon noong 1100 AD hanggang 1500 AD, doon sa Thyatira, nagkaroon ng problema. Okay? Yung period na ito, sa history, nagkaroon ng problema si Pope Leo tsaka yung patriarka ng East. Kasi hati sa dalawa kasi ang Katoliko. Isang western side, predominantly Roman, at isang eastern side, predominantly Greeks. Ang lingwahe dito, Latin. Ang lingwahe dito, Greek. Dito sa Roma, ang kanilang hina-highlight, the humanity of Jesus Christ. Kaya ang kanilang mga sculpture, mga sufferings ni Jesus. Dito sa Greek, ang gusto nilang i-emphasize, the divinity of Jesus. No? So dahil itong dalawang ito, si Pope Leo at saka si Patriarch Michael Corsentius, ay hindi magkasundo. They decided to excommunicate each other. So in-excommunicate ni Pope Leo si Michael Corsentius. Si Patriarch Michael naman, in-excommunicate itong si Pope Leo. Kaya ang nangyari, nahati yung Katoliko sa dalawa. In 1052 AD, yung Roman side naging Romano-Katoliko. Naintindihan nyo na? Noong 1052 AD, naging Roman Catholic Church. Humiwalay ang Greek Orthodox Church. Ang isang pinagdebatihan nila, yung tinatawag na iconoclastic controversy, which pertains to idolatry. Ayaw ng mga Griego, ng mga Greeks, sumamba sa mga ribulto. Ang Romano-Katoliko, meron silang mga artwork. Alam niyo naman ang mga Italian. Di ba? Ang mga Italian, malikhain, very artistic. Diyan ho sa Italy, lumaki si Michelangelo, si Leonardo da Vinci, si Rafael, si Bertoldo. Nandiyan ho yung magagaling na mga skultor. At malaking negosyo yung sculpture, art sa Italy. Kaya yung simbahan niya napakaganda. Pag napunta ho kayo ng Italy, mamamangha kayo sa creation ng artistry. No? So, hindi nila ma-let go yun. So, they love idols. Okay? They love idols. Ang Greek Orthodox, they don't want that. So, you now understand what happened to history. And that happened during the Thyatira era. Okay? Remember yung story ko kanina sa Thyatira? Merong Greek god of war na bago ka makapag-transact ng negosyo, kinakailangan mag-member ka muna. At kapag ka hindi ka sumasamba doon sa Diyos-Diyos na yon, walang negosyo. So it becomes an issue of idolatry. So that it becomes an idolatrous church. Okay? Then, 1600 AD hanggang 19th century, no? Hanggang 19th century, ito naman yung tinatawag na the dead church. Bakit the dead church ito? Kasi ito yung panahon ng Reformation. 1500 to 1900, ito yung panahon na medyo talagang ang Roman Catholic ay naging corrupt. Ito yung panahon ng Inquisition, ito yung panahon na kapag ka, nagkaroon ng ano eh, sobrang binawal ang pagbabasa ng Biblia. Itinago nila yung Bible sa tao. No, bawal. Nag-evolve na, nagkakaroon na ng German language, nagkakaroon ng English language, but they keep on, you know, restraining people from reading the scriptures. Ayaw i-translate sa English or German. At ang masaklap nito, nung tinatayo sa Roma yung St. Peter's Basilica, no, para magkaroon ng pondo, ang ginawa nila, nagkaroon sila ng indulhensya or indulgence na kung saan pwede kang magkaroon ng plenary indulgence. Ibig sabihin ng indulhensya, yung bang parang absuelto ka, you're absolved, you're forgiven. Even if you have not yet committed sin yet, no? But for 1 month, for example, you will pay 1,000 pesos, bayad ka ng 1,000 pesos, for 1 month, you are immune from condemnation. Okay? Until one day, Martin Luther was walking and then he found his friend, lasing na lasing, drunk. At sabi niya, what are you doing? No? Don't you know I have an indulgence? Meron siyang papel na tinanggap. I made the donation for the St. Peter's Basilica. Ganyan-ganyan. And I can commit sin for 1 month. At ako'y exempted. Kahit ako mamatay, sa langit ako pupunta. So binabayaran yung kapatawaran ng kasalanan ng pera. Hindi matanggap yon ni Martin Luther. Sabi niya, no, the just shall live by faith. So he wrote 95 theses, pinaskil niya yun sa pintuan ng simbahan, at nagkaroon ng mga debate, no? Sumunod si John Calvin, si Henry the VIII, na lumaban sa Katoliko, no? Hanggang sa nagkaroon ng Reformation, nagkaroon sila William Tyndale na nalangin para, Lord, sabi niya, nung susunugin si William Tyndale, William Tyndale translated the scriptures from Greek, from Latin to English. Martin Luther translated the Bible from the original to German. Pero William Tyndale was the one who translated the Bible from Latin to English. Nung nalaman noon ng Vatican na may nagtatranslate, pinahuli si William Tyndale. At ang sabi, sunugin. Kinuha si William Tyndale, kinuha yung lahat ng kanyang mga works, no? At sa harapan ng mga tao sa plaza, sinunog siya. Pero bago siya sunugin, before he was burned at stake, he was asked by the berdugo, may anong pre-request mo? Anong wish mo bago ka sunugin? Ano bang gusto mo? Sabi mo lang anong gusto mo bago ka sunugin. Alam mo, sabi niya, my wish is simply a prayer. Let me pray. Okay, you pray whatever you want to pray about. And so he prayed while he was, parang he was tied in a pole, on a pole. At ang sabi niya, ganito lang. That happened in 15th century. Sabi niya, Lord, prayer lang niya, open the eyes of the King of England. That was his prayer. Lord, open the eyes of the King of England. Tawanan yung nagsunog sa kanya. He died. A couple of years after, the King of England became a Christian. And you know the name of that king? King James. In 1611, the first English Bible was printed in the first ever invented printing press by Gutenberg, Johann Gutenberg. At ang unang isinalang sa printing press is the Bible, the authorized King James Version. Amen? Grabe ka powerful yung prayer, no? Nabuksan. Voltaire made the French infidel said, no, I will wipe Christianity off the planet and every trace of the scripture, no, will be eradicated. Wala pang 100 years, no? Yung bahay mismo ni Voltaire ang ginamit for printing the Bible. Namatay na siya, pero yung Bible nandito pa. Amazing, di ba? Nobody can stop the Lord. Amen ba? He is uncontainable. He is unstoppable. No? And He is above in everything. He is always in control. Amen? Palakpakan natin ang Panginoon. So this. Now, Pagdating ng 20th century, no 19th century to 20th century, ito naman yung panahon ng great missionary ventures, no? Sinimulan niya nila William Carey, sinimulan niya ng mga Wesley Brothers, George Whitefield, no, Evan Roberts, no, na nagkaroon ng revival talaga in Europe, and it was like a wildfire, and they began sending missionaries, no, all over the world. Okay. And nung 1930 na imbento ang radio, eventually yung TV, at nagsimula ng mass media, tri-media, printing, radio, television, and then now, internet. So, ang bilis ng communication. Kaya sinasabi sa Matthew 24 verse 14, na bago dumating ang huling araw, ipapangaral ang mabuting balita sa buong mundo. At kapag naipangaral na ang mabuting balita sa buong mundo, darating na ang wakas. Imagine mo ang bilis ng communication ngayon, spreading the Bible all over the world. No, this is the great missionary era. We're winning souls and making disciples. Amen ba? Crossworld is doing its part for the Great Commission. We have a tribal ministry. We have an orphanage. We have a ministry sa mountains. We have a ministry sa mga islands, cities, and remote areas. That's our little share, no, for the Great Commission. So ito yung bahagi niya. We are the missionary church. Kaya sabi sa Philadelphia, I give you an open door that nobody can shut. Meaning, it's an open door, an opportunity to share the gospel. At habang bukas pa, gawin natin, kasi darating ang araw, sasarado na. At kahit anong gawin mo, hindi mo na pwedeng mabuksan. Okay, let's make the most of this time in winning souls and making disciples. Amen? At ang kasunod niyan is the Tribulation Church. Sa Tribulation Church, actually, wala nang church. Ang maiiwan na lang dyan, remnant of the church. Kasi bakit? Pagdating kasi dyan sa 2000 AD plus, apostasy na yan eh. Punta ka ng Europa, ang gaganda ng simbahan. Punta ka ng Italia, ang gaganda ng simbahan. Walang laman. Mga Katolikong Italiano, hindi na nagsisimba. Bakit? Tisod na tisod sa Vatican. Meron nga isang miyembro doon ni Bishop Francis, na madre, doon sa ADMF. Sabi niya, hindi na siya nagmadre. Kasi hindi niya masikmura ang nangyayari sa loob ng Vatican. Hindi na lang niya kinuwento kung ano. Pero ayaw na niya magmadre. No. Ngayon po, nagpastora na lang. Kasi ayaw niyang magmadre. Sabi niya, nakakasuka yung loob ng Vatican. Ang Vatican, wala na nagsisimba doon. Pupunta lang mga tao doon kapag bibisita para lang tingnan yung, alam mo yon, monumento. Memories na lang. Ang misa na lang doon kapag magmimisa yung Papa. Pero yung every Sunday, walang mass doon. Kaya gaganda ng simbahan, walang laman, walang tao. Ginagawang bar, ginagawang hotel, ginagawang flat. It's in the apostate state. Apostasy. At darating ang araw na talagang wala talagang kapangyarihan ng church. Merong church, pero it's just a political church. It's just a, alam mo yon, parang government-sanctioned church. Walang power, walang Holy Spirit, walang Christ. Nasa labas si Christ. At yan yung tribulation. Kaya, alam mo, kasunod na yan, tribulation na talaga eh. Oh. Pero hindi tayo aabot ng tribulation. Amen ba? Amen ba? Kasi ang pangako sa Philadelphia, in Revelation chapter 3 verse 10, sabi doon, because you remain faithful to my word, I will keep you from the hour of testing. Dahil naging tapat ka na lingkod, iingatan kita sa oras ng matinding pagsubok na darating sa buong mundo, and that is the great tribulation. Pray that you will not be included in that great tribulation. You wouldn't want to be a part of that. No? Kasi doon na ibubuhos ng Diyos ang galit niya. mamamayagpag si Antichrist, ibubuhos ng Diyos ang galit niya sa buong mundo. Lindol dito, lindol doon. Terorismo dito, terorismo doon. Calamities everywhere. You wouldn't want to be a part of that. But we're looking forward to the rapture. Amen ba? Jesus Christ will come again. Alam niyo ba yung rapture? Can you say rapture? Ang ibig sabihin ng rapture, we will be caught up with Jesus in the air. Sasalubungin natin si Jesus sa langit. We will be glorified. We will be transformed. Papaguhin tayo. No? At hindi ka nadadaan doon sa great tribulation o yung matinding paghihirap na daranasin ang buong mundo. At we will be married to the Lamb. Amen ba? So we're looking forward to that, to the second coming of Jesus Christ, to the great supper of the Lamb, marriage supper of the Lamb. Palakpakan natin ang Panginoon. No? Kaya hindi tayo natitigatig sa anumang mga problema at pagsubok sapagkat when we look at the panoramic story of the church, alam natin in the end we will be victorious. Amen? Amen ba? Amen. Okay. Now, what can we learn from this? Ano mga matututunan natin dito? Okay? There are things that we can learn from this, from the churches. Number one, in Ephesus, we can learn that don't lose your love for God, for His truth, and for His people. Sa Smyrna, remain faithful in the face of tribulation and poverty. Sa Pergamum, resist Satan's influence even to death if necessary. Thyatira, resist false teaching. In Sardis, remain zealous and pure in conduct. Sa Philadelphia, persevere and walk through the doors God opens. At sa Laodicea, do not become lukewarm about God's way of life. Okay? Amen ba? So ito yung mga timeless truth that we can learn from these distinct churches. No? Na kahit ano man ang era na kinalalagyan ng church, no, we can always learn from what happened to them. Okay? So kung titignan natin at a glance, parang ang bilis ng mga pangyayari, ano? But I can say that one day, in the eyes of the Lord, is like 1,000 with us. Yun nga, ang sabi dito sa 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 to 9. Can we read it? Okay. Ready? Go. With the Lord. Okay. Nung daw panahon ni Peter, marami nagre-reklamo. Babalik daw si Jesus, ba't di naman bumabalik? Ang tagal-tagal. But actually, sinulat yung 2 Peter roughly around 50 AD. Eh, ilang taon na ngayon? 2017. Noon lang, inip na sila eh. Edi how much more tayo? No? Pero kung sila inip na, mas malapit sa atin ang pagbabalik ng Panginoong Jesus. Pero ang tanong, bakit nababalam? Bakit nadidelay? Sabi, huwag kang mag-alala kasi kaya nadidelay yan kasi gusto niya marami pa maligtas. Amen ba? Kaya sabi niya, ano yun eh, parang minsan, pagkasina mo, gusto mo bang dumating na ang Lord? Para sa iba, sila gusto na, dumating ka na Lord, dumating ka na Lord, dumating ka na. Pero para sa marami, sabi niya, Lord, wag pa kasi nanay ko hindi pa nakakakilala sa'yo. Yung kapatid ko hindi pa nakakakilala sa'yo. So sana, bago ka dumating, makakilala muna sila. So, the slowness of God is for our own good or for the good of others so that they will be saved. Pero let's take a look at the statement of Peter. Ang sabi niya dito, a day is like 1,000 years. Ano daw ang equivalent ng one day? So, one day kay God sa atin, 1,000 years. No? Now, let's take a look at the 7 millennia. 7 millennia. Ang isang millennium, 1,000 years. Let's take a look at the 7 millennia. Tanda mo, one day is equivalent to 1,000 years. So, merong first millennia, first day. Second day, third day, fourth day, fifth day, sixth day, seventh day. Okay? Ilang taong ilang araw nilikha ng Diyos ang ang langit at lupa? 6 days. 7th day nagpahinga siya. Remember that? Let me just show this to you. Yung first millennium, ano nangyari nung 4000 BC? Sino ang Bible character na lumabas yan? It's Adam and the patriarch. Okay? So, Adam lived. Bakit Adam? Kasi 1,000 years eh. Diba? Sabi ng Panginoon kay Adam in Genesis 2:17. Basahin natin sabay-sabay. Ready, go? But from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. For in the that you eat from it, you will surely die. Sabi ng Panginoon, in the day that you will eat the fruit, you will die. Question, did Adam die when he ate the fruit? Did he die? Who says he died? Okay. Sino nagsabi namang he didn't die? So, who's saying, I don't know, Pastor. Did he die or did he didn't die? He died. Within 24 hours, did he die? Okay. Ito ha. On that day, 24 hours, he died spiritually. Because death means separation. So he was separated from God. So he died spiritually. But did he die physically? No. He kept on living until ilang taon siya nung namatay? Who knows? Ilang taon namatay si Adam? How old was he when he died? He was how old? Huh? How old? Who can guess? Without looking at your Bible, how, nakailang birthday si Adam? 930! Imagine mo yung birthday cake ni Adam. Merong 930 candles. Wow! Sabi dito, Genesis 5:5, together, all together, Adam lived a total of 930 years and then he died. So si Adam, hindi siya nabuhay ng 1,000 years, equivalent to one day. So God was true to His word. Adam, the day you will die. So the Lord gave him 1,000 years, equivalent to only one day. Kahit totoo yung sinabi ng Panginoon. Diba? Hindi siya lumampas ng one day. In the eyes of God, one day is 1,000 years. Kasi bago kasi si nung bago magkaroon ng nung panahon ni Noah, di ba? Mahaba buhay ng tao. Bakit? Tanungin niyo ako bakit? Mahaba ang buhay ng mga tao kasi merong firmament of water na nakapaligid sa mundo. Ang kapal 'yun eh. Hindi pumapasok ang ultraviolet rays. Hindi pumapasok ang anumang ray galing sa araw. Kaya protected ang mundo, ang lalaki ng mga halaman, ang lalaki ng ubas, no? Ang lalaki ng mga puno, ang lalaki ng mga tao, ang haba ng buhay ng mga tao, umaabot ng 300 years, di ba? 400 years, ang pinakamatandang tao, ilang ng buhay? Si Methuselah, ilang taon siya nung namatay siya? 936 years. Bakit? Kasi ang ganda ng environment. Nung bumaha yung nakapaligid na tubig sa atmosphere, nawala yun. Bumuhos sa mundo. Lumubog ang mundo, di ba? Panahon ni Noe. Nupipis ngayon yung layer. Pag nipis nung layer, pumasok na yung UV rays. Nagsimula na ngayong tayong tumanda. Nagsimula na tayong mag-deteriorate. No? Nagsimula ka ng bumilis na yung buhay. Kaya mabilis ka nang tumanda, no? At mabilis kang mangamoy lupa. 'Di ba? Amuyin mo yung katabi mo. Amoy lupa, 'di ba? Mabilis kang maglibag. At mabilis kang maluoy. 'Di ba? Mabilis kang bumaho. Bakit? Eh, dahil nga sa global warming pa, di ba? Hindi makalabas yung init sa loob ng araw dahil nga sa loob ng mundo. Kaya lalo umiikli yung lifespan ng tao. Anyway, mayroong ibang topic dyan, no? But you see this, one day as one millennium. Okay? One day as one millennium. Now, let's take a look at the second day. Ang second day is panahon naman ni Noah, okay, and Abraham, that's 3,000 BC. At ang world power nung panahon na yon, Mesopotamia. Ang third day is the third millennium, 2,000 BC. Ang Bible character noon ay si Moses, no? Tadaan! Ano nangyari? Ayan, oh. Okay. Egypt and Assyria naman yung world power nung panahon na yon. And then, sumunod, 1,000 BC, panahon naman ni David, ni Daniel, no? At ang world power nun, Babylon, Persia, Greece, and Rome. And then, Jesus. Yeah, palakpakan natin ang Lord. In His time, in His perfect time, you know, Jesus came. He's the center of history. Ang history is being defined, even time is being defined by Him. So, siyang sentro, Jesus. And then, after Jesus, no, nung panahon na yung Katoliko, Roman Catholic, within the 1,000 years ng Roman Catholicism, nung panahon ni Thomas Aquinas, theology has become the queen of all sciences. Talagang namayagpag ang Roman Catholic, no, during the first 1,000 years. Okay? At ang sumikat noon, Europa, at unti-unting umaangat ang USA. And then, pagdating ng 6th millennium, which is our millennium, no, is Martin Luther, Reformation, you remember? Reformation. And then, ang nag-emerge na ngayon, Israel, China, Russia, and Middle East. Okay. Ang Amerika, medyo palubog na. Ang Europa, medyo bumabagsak din. Okay. Kaya nga, parang alam yata ni Duterte na in the last days, China will play a major role because China will become a world power. Totoo yun. It's in the scripture. Okay? So, anong susunod dyan? So, nakailang araw na tayo? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6 days. Pang ilang araw dilikha ng Diyos ang tao? On the 6th day. So, ang Diyos, binibigyan lang tayo ng 6 days. 6 millenniums. 6 millennia. Ang kasunod na nun is the 7th day. What is the 7th day? Rest day. We are waiting for the literal millennium where Christ will reign forever and ever. That's the literal reign of Christ. In this world, hindi magkakaroon ng peace. Kahit sabihin ng United Nations, ng European Union, let there be peace, let there be peace. The more sinasabi mo yung peace, nagkakaroon ng war. Nagkakaroon ng terrorism. Why? Kasi napaka-elusive ng peace. Only Jesus can give true peace. Pag dumating yung millennium na yan, which is after the rapture and after the tribulation and after the judgment, papasok ang lahat ng survivor sa millennium. At sino mag-ahari dyan? Ang mag-ahari dyan si Jesus Christ. At sino ang katuwang niyang mag-ahari? The church. Yung kanyang bride. You and me. At ang Israel. Okay? We will reign together with Jesus Christ. Kaya sabi ko, nung nakita ko to, wow, imagine mo, ang hinihintay na lang, wala natin hinihintay eh. Ang Israel ay nag-blossom na, di ba? Kinuwento yan ni Pastor Ray Isaac o ni Pastor Luis, na nag-blossom na yung Israel eh. Grabe, as a nation. And then 70 years after 1948, sabi nga, rapture daw, mangyayari ngayong taon na to eh. In September 23, because of the planetary alignment at may mga comets na ano, but nobody really knows. Ang mahalaga, alam natin na kasama tayo doon, no? Anumang oras yun. Amen ba? We are not afraid of anything. We are excited about the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. Kaya nung nakita ko to, sabi ko, wow, God has given us 7 millennium, 7 days. And when you look at the universe, di ba, ang buwan, ang moon, umiikot sa mundo ng ilang araw? 30 days. Ang mundo tsaka ang buwan umiikot sa araw ng ilang araw? 365 days, 1 year. Yung solar system natin, which is Milky Way, umiikot din yan. No? Yung galaxy natin na Milky Way, umiikot din yan sa isang bagay na hindi mo malaman for 27,000 years per revolution. So, ang mundo po natin, batang-bata. Ang history natin, batang-bata. There is more that God wants you to experience. So sometimes, ano, parang iniisip mo, ang buhay mo dito lang sa mundo. No, no, there is life after life. Minsan, excited ka na dito sa mundo, eh, no? Excited ka na manalo ka sa Dota, excited ka manalo ka sa LOL, yun na lang ang pangarap mo, eh. Excited ka na manalo ka sa basketball, mag-champion ka. Minsan, ang babaw ng mga pangarap natin, no? Ako, pangarap ko dati, maging astronaut. I want to be a scientist. I want to invent my own spaceship. Kasi I am afraid of World War III. Sabi ko, may giyera eh. Gagawa ako ng isang bagay na magpipigil sa World War III. Pero nung mabasa kong Biblia, tutuloy pala yung World War III. Wala akong magagawa eh. Mangyayari World War III. At nung mabasa ko sa Biblia, pag ako pala na-rapture, no? Sabihin, kapag dumating si Jesus, babaguhin niya ako. At yung katawan na meron siya, magiging katawan ko. Alam yung katawan ni Jesus? Lumulusot sa wall. Nagle-levitate. Lumilipad, parang si Superman. Sabi ko, ba't pa ako mag-astronaut? Wala pala kakwenta-kwenta yung pangarap ko maging piloto at maging astronaut. I-give up ko na lang yung Lord, sabi ko gano'n. Kasi pagdating mo, makapapamasyal naman ako sa Pluto. Gusto ko mag-almusal sa Pluto, tapos magtatanghalian ako, maglalunch ako sa Jupiter, tapos magdi-dinner ako sa Venus. Na hindi ko kailangan ng spaceship. Because I will have a glorified body just like Jesus had. Diba? Yun ang sinabi sa 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. Beloved, we do not know what will happen to us, ang sabi doon. But we know one thing, when He appears, we will be like Him. E sabi ko, Lord, gi-give up ko na lahat ng pangarap ko para sa'yo. Kasi I will be spending eternity with you. Sometimes you're thinking that heaven is boring. Ano gagawin mo doon? Palutang-lutang ka lang sa langit doon? May tumutugtog ka ng gitara habang nasa ulap ka? No? Sometimes yun ang iniisip mo sa langit eh. Nako kapatid, akala mo ganun lang yun. Pero pag nandun na tayo sa paraiso ng Diyos, you will do a lot of things. You can explore the universe. You can travel as far as you can. You can study all you want, all the species of the animals, all God's creation, and enjoy everything that He has made for you. Sabi ko, Lord, ang dami ko palang gagawin in eternity. Kaya Lord, yung natitirang buhay ko, bibigay ko na sa'yo. Tataya ko na lahat, pati pato. Bibigay ko na lahat, todo na. No? At hindi ako malulugi pag ibinigay kong buhay ko sa'yo. Amen ba? Amen ba? And then I realize how big God is. Sabi ko, Lord, grabe ka, ang laki-laki mo pala. No? Kasi sa history, this is eternity past and that's eternity future. God can see all things at one glance. Alam niya yung kung saan ka nagsimula. Alam siya kung saan ka matatapos. At ang liit-liit mo, mahal na mahal ka niya. Ang laki-laki niya. Mututusin, tayo, buhangin lang tayo or alikabok lang tayo eh. Pero pinansin ka ng Diyos eh. Minsan, namumroblema ka. Bakit? Ang laki-laki ng problema mo eh. Pwede ba? Meron ako tuturo sa iyo na prinsipyo. Just listen to this. Listen. I want you to teach a very simple philosophy in life. Okay? Are you ready? Okay, ito ha. Patitingin niyo maigi ha. Big God, small problems. Small God, big problem. Amen? Ulitin natin. Big God, small problem. Small God, big problem. What is the size of your God? Kaya don't tell God how big your mountain is. Tell the mountain how big your God is. Amen? Palakpakan natin ang Panginoon. Alam mo ba kung sino yung Panginoon na pinaglilingkuran natin ngayon? He is the star-breathing God. Star-breather. Yung pag nagsalita siya, ang lumalabas, bituin. Ganun siya kalaki. Mas malaki pa sa araw. Mas malaki pa sa araw. Mas malaki pa siya sa universe. I want you to see that God is in control in every era of church history and even human history. God is always on the throne. In every part of creation, He is actively involved. Kaya there is no room for worry, no room for fear. Take a look at how big your God is. Amen? Let's take a look at this video. I want you to understand how indescribable God is. He is uncontainable. He is untamable. He is amazing God. Grabe, no? We have an amazing God. See how complex the universe is? And He is beyond the universe. See how complicated God created you? You know how complex the human body is? Inside you is a universe. Inside you is a universe. Kaya sabi ni David, wow, sabi niya ganun, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Sabi niya ganun, grabe, I am not an accident. I am not a mistake. I am wonderfully created by God. And when you look at the heavens, no? Grabe. You cannot contain God. You cannot put Him inside the box. Pag nakasakay ko sa aeroplano, sabi ko, Lord, we are above the clouds. 40,000 feet above sea level. Wow. And you're here. Tapos when I look down, ang liliit na nung mga isla, nandun ka din sa baba. Sabi ko, nandun ka sa baba, nandito ka din. Gano'ng kakalaki, Lord? Ang laki-laki mo. Kaya pagka ako nakasakay sa aeroplano, I simply burst out in worship, knowing that my God is so big, He's so strong, and He's so mighty, and there's nothing my God cannot do. Amen? Amen? There's nothing impossible for God. There's nothing too difficult for God to do in your behalf. Kaya it's about time to surrender to Him. Amen? He loves you. He wants you to be a part of His kingdom. He wants to bless you. That's who He is. Handa ka na ba pag dumating siya? Alam mo ba kung nasa ang team ka? Are you part of the winning team? Baka mamaya nasa losing team ka. Pwede ka pang sumama. Pag dumating ng Panginoong Jesus, wala ka nang magagawa. Kung nasa losing team ka, hindi ka na pwedeng mag-apologize at sabihin, Lord, tatanggapin na kita. No. The door has been shut already. Habang hindi pa nagsasara yung pinto, magdesisyon ka nang sumunod kay Jesus. Amen? Amen ba? Habang bukas pa ang langit para sa'yo, you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior.
Because time will come when He returns, He will no longer be a Savior, but He will be a Judge. And no matter how you kneel down and cry and ask for forgiveness, you will no longer be forgiven. Because the time has elapsed. The time of your salvation is today. Not tomorrow. Today. I want you to close your eyes. I want to pray for you. Kapatid, handa ka na ba? Sigurado ka ba pag dumating si Jesus? Kasama ka sa ililigtas niya? O maiiwan ka at makakasama ng mga paparusahan? You don't have to go through the tribulation. You don't have to suffer. Jesus loves you. He died on the cross for you. To save you. To deliver you. And He wants you to be with Him for eternity. Enjoy His creation. That's what He wants. Brother, He loves you so much. Sister, He cares for you so much. But you have to make a decision to receive Him in your heart. Kung ito ang panalangin mo, kapatid, pwede bang taas mo ang iyong kamay? If you're saying, Lord, I surrender to You, can you just raise your hand? Maybe you're struggling. Maybe you're worrying a lot. You're afraid of something. This is a time to make a decision. Lord, I want You to be my Savior and my Lord. From now on, You will be my King. Can you just raise your hand? Yes, I see your hand. God bless you. Pwede na ibaba ang kamay. Anyone else? Anyone else? Meron ba tayong kasama dito? Meron ka bang mabigat na problema? Parang hindi mo kayang buhatin. Hindi mo kayang lutasin. Gusto ko makita kung gaano kalaki ang Diyos. Makita mo kung gaano Siya kalaki. He is above the universe. He is beyond time. And He is so powerful. He is so amazing. And you know what? He is crazy in love with you. And He wants to help you. Pwede bang ibigay mo ang mga dalahin mo sa Kanya? Taas mo ang iyong kamay. If there's something impossible in your life, can you just raise your hand? Lord, I want to trust You with this impossible thing. I want to honor You, Lord, with my problem. I want to see You and I want to know You. Thank You. Hallelujah. Pwedeng tumayo tayong lahat. And I'd like to request lahat ng mga nagtaas ng kamay to please come here in front.